part of the Ion Radio Network.
IPMNation.com.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome. It's Matt Connerton Unleashed, the radio edition. It's Tuesday, May 24th, 2016, a little bit after 11 p.m. Eastern. We are at, as always, the Uptown Auto Repair Studio in Manchester, New Hampshire. Broadcasting worldwide tonight on IPM Nation 2 and OTR FM. Of course, we are on IPM Nation 2, one of our live channels on the IPM Nation live station Monday through Friday at 11 p.m. Eastern. And of course, Tuesdays and Thursday nights, we have the honor and privilege of also being on OTR FM, which is the premium channel on the Ohm Times radio network. We also have the television edition of Unleashed, which is Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern for one more day. That's right. Tomorrow, the Matt Connerton Unleashed television edition will be live at 2 p.m. Eastern. You can watch that, of course, on IPM Nation. And by the way, because I know that we have a lot of folks who watch and listen in the Manchester, New Hampshire area, if you're one of those people who hasn't cut the cord and you still have something called cable, you can also watch the show on Channel 23 in Manchester. But I know most people watch the show online. Tomorrow we will be live at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. Next week is the big move. Matt Connerton Unleashed Television Edition will be on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern, beginning next week, May 31st. So tomorrow is our last Wednesday afternoon show, and then we're getting the upgrade to the better time slot. And the better day, actually. It's a better time slot, obviously, because 7 p.m. I'd rather be on at 7 p.m. than 2 p.m. You know, we'll have definitely have a larger audience, probably more callers, much more interaction via social media during the live show and whatnot. So we're really looking forward to that, and we're going to make the most of that opportunity. But also, too, I think Tuesday is a better day because elections happen on Tuesdays, primaries happen on Tuesdays. And so it's going to allow us to really kind of cover things during the live television edition, you know, really, you know, as they're unfolding on Tuesday tends to be the most important day of the week in politics. So so that's exciting, too. So that starts next week. So tomorrow, it'll be the usual drill. And the next week we go to Tuesday nights with the television edition of Matt Connerton Unleashed. Of course, we are sponsored by the Mortgage Specialists. If you're buying a home, you can go to themortgagespecialists.com, set up an appointment, and those good folks can help you with that. You don't have to go it alone. Of course, we are powered by Ambit Energy. If you're looking to save on your energy bills, go to ipmnation.ambitrabbit.com. Learn how you can sign up and save money every month on your energy bills, and ultimately even qualify for free energy. That is possible. I can attest to that from personal experience. So ipmnation.ambitrabbit.com. And let's see. A bunch of things I want to get into tonight. Oh, of course, we do have a phone line open for you, by the way. 617-917-4IPM. You can call us or text us. 617-917-4476. And of course, we have the chat room open at ipmnation.com live 2. You can also opine on the Matt Connerton Unleashed Facebook page anytime or tweet me anytime at Matt Connerton. Let's see. One thing I want to mention, and I did share this out on the Unleashed Facebook page. So there's a website, miscellanyblue.com, and they picked up a story. And there's actually a clip on there of another show that I do Wednesday is at 6 p.m. Eastern with Gary Hopper and I do a show called Rock, Paper, Hand Grenades, a political show. Some of you may be familiar with it. Some of you may not be. You can watch that live on Wednesdays on IPM Nation. And we had on last week a New Hampshire state rep and a Donald Trump enthusiast, Al Baldessaro. And he's been on the show many times over the years, but he was on there talking about how Kyle Tasker, who is, of course, the disgraced and currently imprisoned former state rep who was caught at a rendezvous or what was to be a potential rendezvous with what he thought was a 14-year-old girl. Which turned out to be, that's a whole other story we're not going to get into, but I know a lot of you are already familiar with the story, but of course it was actually like, what's that show? To Catch a Predator with Chris Hansen. It was that kind of a sting. A 14-year-old girl is not who showed up to meet him. Al Baldessaro on the show Rock, Paper, Hand Grenades last week was talking about the time that Kyle Tasker tried to sell him cannabis oil and tried to charge him $60 for a very small bottle of such. It told him it was perfectly legal. And Al was just like, get away from me. You're out of your mind. That's up on Miscellany Blue. Funny thing about that website, miscellanyblue.com, it's a liberal blog website and they pick on Republicans a lot. But although with that story where they were talking about Al's story about Kyle Tasker. They're not really picking on Republicans. It's more just, you know, this is what happened. But I've only been mentioned on that website twice, and they have no reason to pick on me. I'm not a Republican. But the other time that I was mentioned on that website was the time that another New Hampshire state rep, Dan McGuire, speculated, again, this was on Rock, Paper, Hand Grenades, so apparently somebody there watches the show consistently, was speculating that the Medicaid expansion, no, Medicare, I always get that mixed up, that had something to do because of the expanded treatment for heroin addiction, that was contributing to the heroin epidemic, which a lot of people thought was a ridiculous thing to say, and it was. I mean, you know, that's like suggesting that if we didn't have car insurance, there'd be fewer car accidents because insurance enables people to get into more accidents. Anyway, so I was mentioned in that because that happened on the show, and that led to, in the course of people commenting on that article, that was the article where John Hopwood, because again, this was last year. That was the article where John Hopwood decided to write this long, scathing couple of paragraphs about Gary and I, and which led to me taking that and doing a dramatic reading of what he had written on the air, which kind of won him over because he thought that was funny and kind of won his respect through doing that. And then we ended up becoming friends, and now we go on each other's shows most Wednesdays. So it's funny how one thing leads to another. So at the bottom of the article where it, you know, it says tags, because I'm tagged in the article, if you click my name, the other article that comes up, it's the only other time I've been mentioned on Miscellany Blue that I'm aware of, or at least the only other time I've been tagged was the McGuire article there. But anyway, so I did share that out. Yeah, Al is all in with Trump, and we're going to talk about Trump in a moment. You know, Al is a veteran and speaks a lot about veterans issues and is convinced that Donald Trump is the man to solve, you know, things like the VA and whatnot, all these problems that we have as far as caring for our veterans. I'm not sure why Al believes this. I think he probably likes other things about Donald Trump, which leads him to believe that Trump is going to fix this. Call me a cynic and a skeptic, but every politician says they care about veterans and they want to do something to help veterans and to fix these problems. And then nothing ever gets done. So why one would believe Donald Trump, I don't know. I mean, as far as I can tell, these people who are so quick to believe him because, oh, he's not a real politician. Well, he is now. He's the Republican nominee, the presumptive Republican nominee for president. He is a politician. Anyway, the first thing I want to get to tonight, and I know we're already almost up against a break, but recently on the show, I posed the question. Actually, it was right before the Indiana primary, because right before the Indiana primary, Donald Trump accused Ted Cruz's father, Rafael Cruz, of being in on the alleged conspiracy to kill JFK. And so he believes this, by the way, because he read it in the National Enquirer. Now, we know, of course, that Donald Trump has always had some conspiracy theorist in him. For example, Donald Trump is kind of king of the birthers. You know, and he's the one who chided Obama into eventually releasing his birth certificate and whatnot. But I wondered on the show, this was what I speculated about. Will Donald Trump go full conspiracy theorist with the Clintons? Because there are all kinds of conspiracy theories about the Clintons. And if you really dig deep into it, there's these theories that they actually murdered a lot of people. They'll often refer to Hillary as Killary because they killed all these people and they were part of a big cocaine operation and money laundering operation in Arkansas when Bill Clinton was governor and all this stuff. But the big thing is they've murdered like hundreds and hundreds of people, including Vince Foster, who some of you may remember. What we'll do is we're going to take a break and then we'll come back and then we'll take a look because we have the answer. We now know whether Donald Trump is going to begin lobbing conspiracy theory bombs at the Clintons. It has begun. So much for toning it down for the general election. We know what he's going to do now. It's obvious. It's already started. We'll be right back. More Unleashed coming up.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Hailing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Hailing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
No, the name is Joe. The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our ninth season here on OM Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on omtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go. Yeah!
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Welcome back. Matt Connerton Unleashed is live on IPM Nation 2 and OTR FM. And when we spoke last, about 2 minutes ago before the break. Let's see. I was talking about Trump and, you know, I did raise the question before the Indiana primary. When he raised the question about Rafael Cruz's involvement in JFK's death, reminding us all that Trump does dabble in conspiracy theory, as do a lot of conservatives. So maybe he's not really a conspiracy theorist. Maybe this is part of his appealing to conservatives and trying to make conservatives believe that he's one of them. You know, because a lot of, you know, like Glenn Beck, for example, he kind of wanders into that zone a little bit, that conspiracy theory zone. And so does Michael Savage. So I guess we're not going to see a general election pivot. He's just going to continue to be ridiculous because, like I said, there's a lot of conspiracy theories about the Clintons. And tonight I see this. Actually, I heard, while I was driving back from Local Outbreak, which is a show that I do, that is recorded, another show that I do. Tonight, I heard Michael Savage actually mentioning this, and I wasn't sure exactly what he was talking about, but in regard to Trump. But now I know, because I get online and I look at HuffPost and I see this. Donald Trump injects yet another conspiracy theory into 2016 news cycle with some help from The Washington Post. Oh, boy. Let's see what this says. The Clintons didn't kill Vince Foster. There was no evidence decades ago to support conspiracy theories surrounding the former Clinton White House aide's suicide, and none now. Yet the 23-year-old accusation was resurrected Monday night after presumptive Republican nominee Donald Trump told The Washington Post there's something very fishy about Foster's death. Suspicions that reporter Robert Costa, who interviewed the Republican candidate, highlighted on Twitter. And Costa tweeted out this: Trump suspicious of Vince Foster death. Very fishy, he tells WAPO, which is the Washington Post. Let's see. And then it says, Trump didn't explicitly say likely Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton was involved in Foster's death. But Trump, who led the bogus birther crusade years back, has similarly pushed other conspiracy theories this election cycle by dangling the possibility of an outlandish claim. Example, Ted Cruz's father being involved in JFK's assassination could be true. Though Trump said he doesn't know enough to really discuss Foster's death, he went ahead and did just that. That's kind of his style. Trump told the Post, quote, it's the one thing with her, whether it's Whitewater or whether it's Vince or whether it's Benghazi, it's always a mess with Hillary, unquote. Trump suggested Foster, quote, knew everything that was going on, and then all of a sudden he committed suicide, unquote. Just, you know, pointing out an interesting sequence of events, of course. Such suspicions were quickly picked up on by major news outlets, shared on social media, and hashed out Tuesday on CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News. The article, splashed across the Drudge Report, was the Post's most read piece on Tuesday afternoon. The spread of Trump's baseless suspicions raises a simple question. Why are we even talking about any of this to begin with? Trump, like any candidate, bears responsibility for his remarks in the press. But the Post acknowledged having initially brought up Foster's death, thereby giving the decades-old conspiracy theory oxygen, while simultaneously describing it as far-fetched. When asked in an interview last week about the Foster case, Trump dealt with it as he has with many edgy topics, raising doubts about the official version of events, even as he says he does not plan to talk about it on the campaign trail. He called theories of possible foul play very serious and the circumstances of Foster's death very fishy. Last week, Costa and reporter Philip Rucker talked to Trump for an article about how the controversial candidate was planning to rehabilitate his image for the general election. Some of Trump's comments from that May 16th interview appeared in an article the following day. The remarks about Clinton and Foster weren't published until Monday. Quote, the topic of Vince Foster came up during a lengthy and wide-ranging interview last week with Donald Trump, unquote, Washington Post senior political editor Steven Ginsburg said in an email to HuffPost. Quote, his comments are newsworthy, especially given his willingness to bring up long discredited conspiracy theories as part of his presidential campaign, unquote. Foster, in short, was journalist bait, something thrown out there to see just how far Trump was willing to go. And he's clearly willing to go far. Trump's tendency to latch onto conspiracy theories had even prompted Red State managing editor Leon Wolf to suggest earlier this month that reporters ask him about the Foster affair. Leon Wolf tweeted this, dear media, someone asks Donald Trump if he thinks Hillary Clinton killed Vince Foster. You're welcome. As the Post sees it, the question serves as a larger purpose of showing a presidential candidate willing to peddle falsehoods and internet rumors, but it comes with the risk of legitimizing those very conspiracy theories that probably should die. Instead of just admitting that the theory of Clinton killing Foster was false, for example, some supporters, like former Mississippi Governor Haley Barbour, tried deflecting blame away from Trump and toward the Post for asking the question in the first place. Yes, of course, blame the media. Always blame the media. That's their fallback. He said this, quote, if I ask you, what do you think about Vince Foster's death in 1993? I know what your response would be. You'd say, stay away from it, unquote, MSNBC's Joe Scarborough told Barbour on Tuesday's show. And he continued, quote, every other respected Republican politician on Capitol Hill that you and I both know that would want to be president of the United States would stay away from it. Instead, Donald Trump talked about it. He talked about it at length, unquote. There continues to be this narrative that Trump's going to start to really kind of pivot toward a general election campaign where he's going to be more presidential and statesmanlike, and then he does this kind of stuff. I guess a lot of people like it. Actually, recent polls show he does have a shot at beating Hillary. And as Hillary's negatives seem to be increasing because, you know, as the FBI investigation intensifies and whatnot, boy, maybe he does have a shot. I don't know. By the way, I thought this was kind of funny. Something quick on the World Post. North Korea shuts down Donald Trump's Kim Jong-un proposal. Actually, this is originally from Reuters. U.S. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump's proposal to meet North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is, quote, a kind of propaganda or advertisement, unquote, in his election race, a senior North Korean official said on Monday. Trump, in a wide-ranging interview with Reuters in New York last week, said he is willing to talk to the North Korean leader to try to stop Pyongyang's nuclear program, proposing a major shift in U.S. policy toward the isolated nation. And this was the response, quote, it is up to the decision of my supreme leader whether he decides to meet or not, but I think Trump's idea of talk is nonsense, unquote. So Se Pyong, North Korean's ambassador to the United Nations in Geneva, told Reuters on return from Pyongyang after attending the first ruling party's Congress in 36 years. He also said, quote, it's for utilization of the presidential election, that's all. A kind of propaganda or advertisement. This is useless, just a gesture for the presidential election. There is no meeting, no sincerity, unquote. Wow. There's a little bit more to this article if you want to read the whole thing. It is up on HuffPost, but it's always been the U.S. policy not to engage North Korea directly, but rather nuclear negotiations have tended to take place through these six-party talks. But you're never going to see the president of the United States sitting down one-on-one with the leader of North Korea, because, and it's this idea that, you know, whether you agree with it or not, it's this idea that doing so would legitimize the leader of North Korea in some way, who is a bad guy, as was his dad, and treats the people of North Korea horribly. And of course, you know, South Korea is our ally. And that's why we have troops, you know, along the Korean border and whatnot. But it's interesting to see them actually trolling Donald Trump. See, the reality is they love this kind of stuff because they're always looking for attention. Kim Jong-un, just like his father, Kim Jong-il, always looking for attention from the world. They're attention seekers. You know, they want the world to pay attention to them and take them seriously. So then you have Trump, who puts this idea out there that he will actually pay attention to them and will actually sit down with them, and they respond by just kind of trolling him. It's actually pretty funny in a way. I don't know what you do with that. Anyway, we're about halfway done, so we're going to take another break in just a moment. And when we come back, there's something about the Libertarian Party that I want to talk about, actually, and the influence of such in this election. Something interesting I found that I actually wanted to get to last night and didn't. So we'll go with that when we return. So we'll be back in about 2 minutes. More Unleashed coming up. Give us a call. 617-917-4IPM is the number. And I'll see you on the other side of the break.
Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Aliyah, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
IPMNation.com.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We're live on IPM Nation 2 and OTR FM. I think my allergies are getting me a little bit. You might have noticed in the last segment, getting a little hoarse. The pollen count's still pretty high, and yeah, I can kind of hear it in my voice a little bit. But that's okay. We'll get through it. It doesn't hurt or anything. My throat doesn't hurt. It's just Just, you know, got a little something in there. Let's see. This is something that caught my eye. This is on HuffPost. The Libertarian Party could provide insurance for Hillary Clinton. And this actually went up yesterday, and this is interesting. Says here, the two former Republican governors are running for president and vice president on the Libertarian line. They are Gary Johnson, former governor of New Mexico, who I voted for in 2012, by the way, and William Weld, former governor of Massachusetts. I did not know that William Weld was running on the Libertarian ticket, or that he was running at all. That's interesting. The Libertarian Party holds its nominating convention in Orlando, Florida, over Memorial Day weekend. And by the way, as a side note, I have endorsed Daryl W. Perry for the Libertarian nomination, although I think he stands little chance. I think it's probably going to be Gary Johnson. John McAfee is kind of a big name. Of course, people are familiar with the McAfee antivirus protection. And William Weld, who, again, I did not realize at all that he was running. It says here, the Libertarian Party could play the spoiler role in 2016 for Donald Trump, just as Ralph Nader did in 2000. But this time helping to tip the election to the Democrat. Its minor party counterpart to the left, the Green Party, led by standard bearer Jill Stein, is far less likely to draw a comparable level of support from disaffected Bernie Sanders supporters. Sanders himself has already said he'll support the Democratic nominee. Unlike the typical third party candidates, Johnson and Weld are experienced mainstream politicians. Johnson, a former construction company entrepreneur, served two terms from 1994 to 2002, winning both elections by 10 points. Weld was a highly popular and moderate governor of the Bay State. He won re-election by the largest margin in state history in 1994. And by the way, a side note, a little bit of context here, because, you know, I'm in New Hampshire, obviously, we're the neighboring state to Massachusetts. When Bill Weld was governor, I used to think that he was probably about as liberal as you can get and still get away with calling yourself a Republican. In other words, he was very much a moderate to liberal Republican. In other words, a Massachusetts Republican. You know, he could have just as easily passed for a conservative Democrat, but in Massachusetts, you know, you can't be a conservative and be successful as a Republican. You've got to be moderate to liberal to have any chance at all. And Bill Weld, you know, pro-choice, and, you know, he definitely has never been a conservative. All right. Let's see. Polls are notoriously unreliable on third-party campaigns, especially this early in an election year when low name recognition understates appeal. But it looks as if the Libertarians could easily take 5 to 10% of the total vote and more in key states. Almost all of this will come at the expense of Donald Trump. A Fox poll conducted Friday had support for Johnson at a surprising 10% of the national vote. By the way, that does not surprise me. There was another poll several weeks ago that showed him at 11%. That's huge. For a third-party independent candidate, that's a big number. Once the campaign moves to the general election phase, the Libertarian ticket will get more attention. In 1980, Republican Congressman John B. Anderson of Illinois, who could not abide Ronald Reagan, mounted an independent challenge and won just under 7% of the vote. By the way, another quick side note, my dad voted for John B. Anderson in 1980. Maybe that's where some of my independent attitude comes from. My dad at the time was a registered Democrat, but could not vote for Jimmy Carter for re-election, but he really liked John B. Anderson. Just a quick personal story. I know I've told this on the show before, but not in a long time. I know we have a lot of new listeners, but my very first political memory, because I became interested in politics at probably an unhealthily young age, but my first political memory ever actually involves John B. Anderson, because I remember, they're very fuzzy memories because I was just a little kid, but I remember that election in 1980 because I have a specific memory of being at a convenience store with my dad and seeing it was Time or Newsweek or maybe U.S. News and World Report, one of the big magazines that covered politics at the time. On the cover of the magazine, there was this caricature drawing of Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan, and they're racing. They're in a race, and they're neck and neck, and they're about to cross the finish line. It was a caricature drawing, a cartoon. And I remember looking at that, and I kind of knew who Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan were. But there was a third guy, like, in the back. Like, they're both about to cross the finish line, but then in the background, way behind them, was a third guy. And I remember not knowing who that was. And I remember asking my dad, who's that? And he explained it to me. That's John Anderson, and he's the independent. And he doesn't have much of a chance because he's the independent, and that's why he's kind of in the back. I still remember the cover like it was yesterday. I can vividly remember that. I remember that whole thing. I remember asking my dad about it and him explaining it to me. And that's really kind of my earliest political memory where I actually, you know, asked my father a specific question regarding politics. So I always think of that when I think of that election. Anyway, let's see. In what seems an increasingly close election, even 5 points drawn off from Trump in such key swing states as Colorado, Florida, or Ohio, or possibly Arizona, could lock those states into the blue column and provide some insurance for Hillary Clinton. Of course, many of the Republicans who are most appalled by Donald Trump are far from libertarian. They are traditional business types or social moderates. On the other hand, they are fervent free traders, like the libertarians and unlike Trump. The presence of a ticket with two former mainstream GOP governors gives them a way to disdain Trump without crossing all the way over to supporting Clinton. In addition, the Republican Party is home to many genuine libertarians, such as Kentucky Senator Rand Paul and his legions of young supporters. By the way, I take issue with calling Rand Paul a genuine libertarian. He's closer than probably just about any other Republican in Congress, but he's not really a libertarian in my view. Libertarians tend to support very limited government, both at home and in limiting military adventures abroad. They're also big on rights such as abortion rights and the right to smoke or grow marijuana and the right to freely migrate. Governor Gary Johnson not only supports the right to grow and smoke marijuana, he's a pot entrepreneur, the CEO of a company called Cannabis Sativa. Trump, with his defense of traditional Social Security and Medicare, and a military stance that swings wildly between intervention and isolation, seems the opposite of libertarian. Bill Weld, the former governor of Massachusetts, told the New York Times that Trump's views on Muslims remind him of Kristallnacht. I'm sure I'm not saying that right. The Nazi rampage on Jewish shops and synagogues in 1938. Wow. The spurned Republican kingmakers and donors so far have failed to get a high-profile figure like Mitt Romney or Paul Ryan to mount a third-party run against Trump. But two former GOP governors on the Libertarian ticket could well end up playing that role. Even though most Republican elected officials have fallen in line behind Trump, a lot of Republican voters would dearly rather like to cast their ballots for someone else. So I think the analysis in that article is spot on. While you also see a lot of turmoil with the Democrats right now, with Bernie Sanders now, he's so mad at Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's, of course, the current chair of the Democratic National Committee, that he's openly supporting her primary opponent. He wants to see her get primaried out, which is great. So while you're seeing a lot of this with the Democrats, part of the reason why we focus so much more on the turmoil with the Republicans, all the turmoil around Trump, is that has real consequences in terms of the election. You know, I mean, for the Democrats, yeah, you're going to have a lot of pissed off Bernie Sanders supporters come convention. Actually, we already have a lot of pissed off Bernie Sanders supporters, but it's just not going to have the same effect. Ultimately, they're going to vote for Hillary. They're certainly not going to vote for Trump unless they just feel disenfranchised and decide to stay home entirely. But on the right, there's going to be a divide. I mean, look, Gary Johnson, they should be very, very alarmed. The Republicans, Reince Priebus and everybody in charge, they should be very, very alarmed to see the Libertarian candidate polling at 10%. Because, you know, like it says in the article, where is he going to siphon those votes from? Republicans, Trump supporters, would-be Trump supporters. They're going to, you know, a lot of them making a principled decision, they're going to vote for Gary Johnson or whoever the Libertarian nominee is, who I think will be Gary Johnson. I'm not a Republican, but I'm voting for Gary Johnson if he is the nominee. So this is scary stuff for the Republican Party. And again, I think a lot of them, I mean, Lindsey Graham, like I've mentioned on the show, he came right out and said it on Morning Joe one morning a few weeks ago. He said, yeah, we're going to lose badly in 2016. But I'll tell you what, here's the good news there is good news in this for the Republicans. Yes. A third party challenge, a credible third party challenge, probably means they definitely have no shot at winning back the White House in 2016. But if these Republicans still come out to vote and vote Libertarian instead of just staying home, they at least have a shot of not losing too badly down ballot. Because if Republicans are so disgusted, they just decide to stay home completely, the Democrats are going to completely control Congress in 2016. So, but we'll see. A lot can happen. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Do you have time to read that inspiring book or that blog post you've been meaning to get to? In your busy world, how do you improve yourself and keep your life going? I'm Lisa Kay, and my Between Heaven and Earth radio show can transform your life just by listening. Be uplifted with inspiring topics, positive stories, and ideas that really work. Between Heaven and Earth Radio is conscious living for your soul. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hello, I'm Miriam Knight of New Consciousness Review, inviting you to my new show where I interview the rising stars of the conscious awakening. We'll explore the many faces of consciousness in action and intriguing perspectives on life, the universe, and everything in between. Join us each Wednesday at 2 p.m. Eastern on the Rising Stars Show.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. No, that was not new bumper music. I just never actually played that part of the song before. Anyway, we got a few more minutes to go tonight. You're probably wondering, Matt, the show's almost over. What happened to your favorite part? What happened to rightwingwatch.org? Oh, I didn't forget, my friends. I didn't forget. I just, tonight I decided to save the best for last because, as you know, as any reasonable, intelligent, thinking person does, I get all my news from rightwingwatch.org. And, you know, if there's a tsunami coming or, Armageddon or something, I want to know about it. So, it's a good site for that kind of thing. You know, you can pray away the tsunami. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just go back and listen to last night's show. So remember, Jim Baker, you know, Jim and Tammy Faye Baker from the 80s, they had the very colorful sweaters and, Tammy Faye, of course, always had the makeup, and she'd cry and the makeup would be like running all over her face. And she'd end up looking like some sort of demon, ironically enough. Jim Baker is still out there fighting the good fight, reminding everybody that God is going to punish us all for treating people who are different than us with any level of respect or dignity. God doesn't like that, you know, allowing gay people or LGBT or transgenders to be treated with, you know, like they're actual human beings. That's just not part of God's plan, according to people like Jim Baker. I found this on rightwingwatch.org. Jim Baker says God judging America for abortion rights and LGBT equality. Says here, televangelist Jim Baker declared on his television program last week that only a sick person would believe that God is blessing America. God bless America. Says it right in the song. Doesn't he listen to the song? He's supposed to bless America. God. No pun intended. Baker suggested that God is punishing America with an uptick in earthquakes due to the legalization of abortion, rather than the fracking process, of course, and that America is now in the time of sorrows, noting that, quote, we don't know the difference between boys and girls. That's how sick we are. Unquote. Oh, boy. I have an idea. Let's play some audio. Let's take a listen to the esteemed Mr. Baker in his own words.
If you think America is under the anointing and blessing of God, you're sick. You believe a lie. And that's what the Bible says will happen in the last days. So people believe a lie.
Right.
But you can't murder 70 million babies and think that God is going to wink at it.
No.
He just is not going to do it. And then Jesus said, of course, when asked what's going to be a sign of his coming back, and he said it, and I quote it over and over again.
Right.
But he says there will be a famine or a time when there will be no food to eat.
Matthew 24.
An epidemic.
Right.
And then earthquakes, and they're happening right now. We have more earthquakes than any time in the history of the world that we know of.
That's exactly.
Recorded history.
Oh, yeah. And we've talked about the statistics before that. We've looked up on the U.S. Geological Service that in the 1970s, they're experiencing 4,000 to 5,000 earthquakes a year. And that was consistent for a couple of decades. And then around the year 2000, we started to experience over 20,000 earthquakes every single year. That's a 400% increase. And the Word of God says, listen, before I come back, you're going to see these things like an increase of earthquakes. We're seeing that right now. But then whenever we hit the year 2013.
All right, hang on. I got to interject something here. I know you're all shocked that I would do that. First of all, are these numbers even right? 20,000 earthquakes? Second of all, the God that I learned about in school doesn't punish using earthquakes, okay? Don't these people read their Bible? God punishes using things like plagues and locusts. Even I know that. I mean, come on. Earthquakes? That's clearly not the work of God. I mean, be serious, people. I mean, if God is punishing us, see, they always think, you know, if there's a tornado or something, it's God punishing people and whatnot. No. God will create a big flood if he wants to punish everybody, right? Earthquakes and bad weather and Plus, actually, as we I don't want to keep referencing last night. You gotta, if you like this kind of stuff, listen to last night's show. It is up and available. All right, we'll play the rest of this garbage.
It increased to 89,000 earthquakes a year and hasn't decreased since then. Last year, we experienced 118,000 earthquakes. Compared to the 70s, 4,000 to 5,000 earthquakes a year. Is this not an increase of earthquakes?
Okay. Let me stop there again for a second. You know that feeling when you hear someone rattling off a lot of numbers and statistics and you think, yeah, he's just making these up off the top of his head. I don't believe anything he's saying. I think he's just making these up. That's the feeling I have listening to this guy, this other guy on Jim Baker's show. There were 30,000 earthquakes, and then there was 100,000 earthquakes, and in the 70s there were 50,000, and then in 1995 there were 600,000. And I mean, come on, he's just. Well, I mean, did he actually commit all these numbers to memory? Did he actually go and research it? And if he did, where would he have researched it? Would he talk to a scientist to get these numbers, an actual geologist? Of course not. These people think that science is some sort of sorcery. If it's not in the Bible, it can't be true. I mean, you know, you're talking about people who think that Satan put dinosaur fossils there to fool us into believing in evolution and therefore rejecting God. I mean, that's the kind of intellect or lack thereof you're dealing with these people. And this guy's sitting here rattling off all these numbers because he knows, right? He is smart enough to know this. Who's going to actually look this shit up? Damn sure nobody watching that show. They're sitting there going, oh, wow, listen to all these numbers. Oh, my God, he really knows his stuff. Wow, he's right. There's like a million zillion earthquakes now, and it's all because God is mad about Target's new transgender bathroom policy. Fucking morons.
Earthquakes, are we in the time of sorrows?
That's what this is what it says. Verse 8, right next to it, right after earthquakes, famines. He says, and all of these, what? These? Famine, hunger, epidemics, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of...
Okay, wait. That's another thing these people do. I noticed this. I figured this out when I was 10 years old. They rattle off a list of stuff that's happening. Famine and earthquakes and epidemics and they try to present it as all this stuff is happening right now. We must be in the end times. Why else would all these things have been happening? Of course, what they leave out is none of these things are new. There's always been earthquakes. There's always been epidemics. There's always been all kinds of severe weather. There's always been famine. There's always been all kinds of shit going wrong in the world. None of it's new. None of it means anything other than a lot of bad things happen in the world. And that's a bummer. It doesn't mean that there's an invisible deity that's about to just wreck the whole thing.
We are right now. We're there. If you can't see what's going on in America, we don't know the difference between boys and girls. That's how sick we are.
I know the difference, Mr. Baker.
Oh, yeah. You think grown men should go into girls' bathrooms?
Oh, they're so freaked out about that.
Are you in agreement?
They're so fixated on that.
This is sick, people. I'm not against anybody who is going through a problem or serious, you know, situations. But we, as Americans, 99% of the people do not have to give up their sanity.
Right.
Because who's giving up their sanity?
1% want to be insane.
At that point, less than 1%.
What?
I mean, I sit back and I watch what's going on in the world. I'm going to have to stop watching it.
Yeah.
Because it's driving me crazy. It's insane. It's crazy what's going on. And we're acting like it's normal.
Exactly.
It's not normal.
I really believe that right now we are seeing a Joshua type of day where we have got to decide whom today we are going to serve.
Yeah.
I don't believe, you see, there is such a divide happening in America right now. It's no longer convenient to be a lukewarm Christian. I believe that in the soon future, that lukewarm Christianity will be a thing of the past. You're going to have to choose which side you're going to serve.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's coming apart. And it's going to, there's going to be things hit. We're going to see some major things. God spoke to me just about 24 hours ago.
Oh, my. God spoke to him.
Things that are going to be pre-earthquakes, but they're going to be.
I've always wondered, by the way, when these people say God spoke to them, like, what kind of a voice does God have? Like, I imagine God having a really deep, booming voice, you know, like, Jim Baker, this is God. I'm going to create an earthquake tomorrow to punish gay people. Make sure you talk about it on your show. You know, is it like a very deep and, you know, but then again, I guess it depends which God too. Is it Old Testament God or New Testament God? Like Old Testament God would probably sound like really angry, like, oh, I'm going to send a hurricane and kill a bunch of people because I'm angry with all of you because I'm God. And then New Testament God would be more just like the deep voice God. Like he's got the deep voice, but he's not like threatening and angry because he's New Testament God. He's actually kind of chill.
Smaller crisis. Even part of the grid may go down. I don't know for sure what it's all about. But I know God is speaking to my heart. The people are wanting, he warns them, but they won't listen. And God says, I'm going to have to shake the people to get them to obey me.
Oh, see what he did there? He's so clever. He said, God said he's going to have to shake the people, you know, because an earthquake shakes things up. Because I'm sure there really is a man in Jim Baker's head who says these things to him. Or perhaps Jim Baker is a paranoid schizophrenic, and that's why maybe he really does hear voices in his head. There's more to this clip, but that's about as much of it as I can hear without throwing up in my mouth, which I want to avoid doing because when you swallow it back down, it burns. But we're out of time.